More than any other time of the year, it is perhaps the beginning of a year that we associate most directly with a question mark. As one looks at all of those big, open, wide blanks on a new glossy calendar, it's easy to think, what will this year be like? Sometimes that question mark has a happy twist for us. As we think, what kind of pleasant surprises are in store? What will generate some good and memorable memories over the next 12 months? Quite often, however, that question mark has a bit of a negative twist. Mindful as we are of the difficulties of earthly life on our own sinful nature, mindful as we are of some of the challenges and difficulties that we encountered in the previous year. It would be great if we could just leave certain things behind at 11:59 on December 31st, but we can't or don't. And so we might ask somewhat nervously, what will be added in 2014 to some of the challenges and difficulties that were experienced last year? Jesus himself told us, in the world, you have trouble. So how can we look ahead with any measure of confidence, security, and peace? Well, here's another question, which is really the answer. It was spoken by the Lord at the time that he visited Abraham and Sarah many, many years ago, and he said very simply, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" God had promised Abraham that he would have an heir, and Abraham was pleased by the prospect. But as time passed, his delight was replaced by some concern and frustration. Weeks of waiting for the fulfillment of that promise turned into months, which turned into years, which turned into decades of waiting. In Abraham's mind, after a while, that promise had become somewhat of a problem. A problem that followed him from year to year. Here he had become an old man who had an old wife who had been barren her entire life. At a low point in their spiritual lives, Abraham and Sarah finally decided to take the matter into their own hands, and they involved Hagar, through whom Ishmael was born. How else was Abraham going to receive an heir? How else? By waiting for God to do what he has planned to do at his good time. When the time was right, three visitors, one of whom was the Lord himself, came to Abraham and Sarah and explained that in a year's time, Sarah would give birth to a son. By that time, however, the problem had become so large in Sarah's mind that when she was told that she would be a mother in a year's time, she burst out laughing. But it was in response to her faithless laughter that the Lord very graciously spoke this word, asked that hard question, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" The answer is so clear that it isn't even expressed. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. The problem, the thing that's hard, is for us to remember that and to keep that at the forefront of our thoughts. During this past Christmas break, a number of you, I'd imagine, took to the skies. And if you happened to get a window seat and were not too exhausted to do so, you may have looked out the window and again experienced that interesting shaping of perspective that can happen when you're flying. If you flew out of the cities, perhaps it was the IDS building that caught your attention. If you flew out of the cities, maybe it was the Willis Tower, or out of San Francisco, maybe the Transamerica building. When a person is outside of a plane, standing at the base of one of those buildings, one is awestruck at the magnitude of the structure. They stand as towering testaments of the ability that mankind has developed to construct some amazing buildings. Take off in a plane, however, and watch one of those big buildings as the plane rises into the sky, and all of a sudden one's perspective takes a dramatic detour. Through the window of an ascending plane, those enormous buildings start to become about this big. The very structures that are so intimidating and overwhelming when you stand at the base of them end up appearing almost insignificant when one sees the larger picture. And if that's the perspective one gains by simply flying above some buildings at a few thousand feet, imagine the perspective of the one who fills all the heavens and who possesses the power to do all things. As we go through earthly life from year to year, we are on the ground, so to speak. We are always up close to everything, our challenges, our concerns, our duties, our responsibilities. And because of the close proximity to our problems and our lack of proper perspective, the various challenges that come our way and the uncertainties of the future can easily become frightening. We tend to describe our challenges as big, our concerns as deep, our duties as heavy. And as a result, we can slip into panic mode and a worrisome mentality, as though the solving of our problems were up to us. The Lord, therefore, invites us to see things from His vantage point, from His perspective. And from His point of view, even the biggest challenges in our lives are nearly microscopic, because nothing is too hard for Him. And if nothing is too hard for Him, there is really nothing for us to fear. After all, the one who does possess all power promises to use it for our earthly and eternal benefit. At a time of considerable confusion and turmoil, the prophet Jeremiah prayed, "Ah, Lord God, it is You who have made the heavens and the earth by Your great power and by Your outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for You who shows steadfast love to thousands." And the Lord affirmed Jeremiah's confidence, answering, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for Me?" No matter what comes into the lives of God's people, the Chaldeans of Jeremiah's day or the challenges that might come in these latter times, they are either stopped, redirected, or somehow used by the Lord to strengthen our faith, sharpen our focus, and ultimately bring us to glory. He who has already shown us the supreme act of love, sending His Son to pay for our sins, will surely take care of us by taking care of all of our difficulties in the way He sees fit. Luther, in his simple and direct way of viewing things, wrote, "Why are we so vexed by thoughts, seeing that the future is not in our power for one moment?" And then describes God as the one who alone knows and controls the past and the future. What will 2014 be like? None of us knows. But we do know all that we need to know, that the Lord Jesus possesses all power and always acts out of purest love. Our problems are not problematic for Him. Our challenges are not challenging to Him. And that's comforting, reassuring. And so we can, in that knowledge, take off into a new year, recognizing that life does become a lot simpler when we remember that nothing is too hard for Him. Whichever one of you happens to be driving a red Bravada provided me this morning with a helpful reminder with which to begin the day and the semester and the year. For as I parked my car this morning and stepped out, there I saw on the back of the vehicle the words, "Nothing." No, that's not the, it's the other way around. "Everything." I should have written it down. Huh? That's what it is. "Everything." That's the first word. No, it's not. Let me help it out. Anyway, it says God is in control. Who drives it? Anybody here? What's the first word? Thankfully. Thankfully, God is in control. Amen. Hymn 123, verses 1, 2, and 8. 123, 1, 2, and 8. Thankfully.